Hello, I'm Jerry Hanauer, and I'm host today for Candidates Corner. That's BCTV's service to our community where you get to meet all the candidates for office that are coming up in the town elections that'll happen on March 14th. And today we have with us Anthony Frederick. Most people in town know Anthony as Tony, so I think I'll be calling you Tony during the interview, but your name on the ballot I think is going to be Anthony Frederick. Tony Frederick is running for library trustee. So welcome to Candidates Corner. Good to see you, Tony.
Thank you very much.
All right. So, Tony, let's start out with some just basic information about you as and your affiliation with the whole town. How long have you lived in Bedford here?
1970, we moved here.
1970. And have you lived in the same place in Bedford since 1970?
No. We lived on Meeting House Road, 36 Meeting House Road. I think they changed the number, but it's right. It's a second, second lot after the Catholic Church, coming this way.
Okay. Yeah.
And so we had 7.5 acres there, and so we were just. It's like having a farm.
Yeah,
because you had trees and plenty of grass, and no matter how much you mowed, there was always more.
Right.
And so then we moved over to the Village Green in 2005, and then we bought the house that we were in at 2010, and that's where we are now.
Ah, okay. And you've had a business here. First of all, I should mention your a lot of people know your wife, Marilyn. I know she's an active gal in town. My wife, Benny, knows Marilyn real well through the Women's Club. She's a kayaker. I've seen her kayaking on Lake Massabesic. Tell me, you raised a family in Bedford as well?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Yes, I had a... we have a son who's living in New York now, and he's been there since he got out of college.
Yeah.
And my daughter went to Wesleyan in Connecticut, and she teaches high school and coaches Frisbee. She has a Frisbee team, and she's at Concord Academy in Concord, Massachusetts.
Oh, really? Well, that's a fine school.
Yes.
No, I just was listening to I didn't know anything about, is it Ultimate Frisbee? Is this the
name? Yes, yes, yes.
You know, there are no referees in that sport. Apparently, it's like an honor system sport. They play, and
really?
It's a self-regulated type of deal.
Wow.
So
no, I didn't
like
know that.
A model for the whole world order, I guess. It starts with Ultimate Frisbee. You own a business in town. Tell me about Frederick Seal.
I started in the sealing business. In 1964. And I worked for a company for 10 years, and we had some disagreements, and so I started my own.
Uh-huh.
And I lived in Suncook at the time, then we moved down to Bedford in 1970, and we've been there ever since. I had my business in the garage. I had the selectmen come over and chastise me 3 or 4 times. And then I bought a house down on Route 3 and moved everything down there to make them happy. And then we had a problem. You won't believe this. I went and got a loan.
I'm going to interrupt you for a sec.
Yeah.
You said it's a ceiling business.
Yeah.
It's not driveway ceiling, is it?
No, it's not driveway ceiling. It's packing and gaskets and O-rings that are used in boilers, pumps, and all sorts of heavy machinery.
Uh-huh.
And so I had moved that down there, and the lady that owned the property, I went over to see if I could buy it by giving her a big note. Big, big note.
Yeah.
And so it was, I tried to explain to her that I don't have any money. And so her husband heard that and said, throw the bum out. he doesn't have any money. And I said, but I will pay you off as my business grows, and it's growing quite rapidly. And so she liked the idea. She went along with it.
Uh-huh.
And so she there was 23 acres there plus a house. So
this was down on Route 3.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And so I went to the bank 3 years later to try to get money to build a big building, you know, 15,000 square foot building, which was two stories and made out of this brand new concrete slabs. The contractor took me down to Connecticut and showed me this new outfit that was building. They're about 6-inch slabs, and they have polyurethane inside, and like you'd stuff this material into places for insulation. It was the insulation, that's all the insulation was in the building, was 6 inches between you and the outside. And so they said they thought it would be a great idea, and so I said, I like it, let's do it. So my architect, who drew the plans for the other building, which was a boiler and a whole bunch of stuff, and he said, we aren't going to do that. And I said, excuse me? I said, maybe you've forgotten who pays the bills around here. So he backed right off.
Uh-huh.
And so we went forward with the new project.
And is that still the quarters for the company right now?
No, it is not. I had to move. What happened was the bank that lent me the money went bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Concord Savings Bank.
Oh.
So
what year would this have been? 87, 86?
This would be...
That
no, 95.
95, okay.
95. And so what happened was the government takes over failed banks, all their receivables and everything, you know, all the people who owe the money.
Yeah.
So they came to me and said, we want $350,000.
Uh-huh.
I said, well, you ain't going to get it.
Yeah. Yeah. This was bankruptcy referee for the bank.
This was a federal government.
Yeah. Oh, federal government took
federal
over the
government
bank. Yeah.
Had a group of people that they send in, whoosh, and then whoosh once it's over.
Right.
So their job is to go in and just grab as much as they can grab.
Yeah.
And so I said, we ain't going to get it. So... we stayed there 3 years.
Yeah.
And they mowed the grass. They plowed the snow. They did all the things that I didn't have to pay for.
Yeah.
But, you know, it got to the end. And it just happened that I was working with a group of people that wanted to start a bank. So I put up some money like everybody else did. And one of the people that was in that thing had a property up on the north side of Manchester.
Yeah.
And he said it was vacant. They used to do handicapped vans there. They'd rebuild them and so on and so forth. But they sold it, and it moved down to Londonderry.
Yeah.
So it was empty. And so he said...
That's where Fredericksville moved at that time?
That's right.
Uh-huh. But that's not his current location.
That is his current location.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Still there.
Very good.
Think of it.
Uh-huh.
95 to 2016. And we're still chugging.
I'm Jerry Hanauer, and today we have with us Tony Frederick, who's running for library trustee. Well, I can tell by the type of technical details that you get into when you're describing these histories that you've got an engineering background. Is that
actually
true?
I don't.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Oh.
My college degree is in sales and marketing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so no engineering. Didn't even like engineering drawing.
Yeah. Oh, really?
So,
because it's quite a technical product that you manufacture.
Well, you know, that's one of the interesting things about building a career. If you decide that you want to go in any direction, you read and you visit, and before long, you know as much as the people who've been there for decades.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's really that funny.
Right.
And so anybody who wants to do something, all you got to do is do it.
Yeah.
And by the time you get up to speed, it's a very short time.
Yeah.
And you're very surprised that these people don't know more than they do.
Yeah.
Because they've been there for years.
Well, you're a quick learner. You have to be more tolerant of those with lesser minds, you know.
Yeah, right.
Okay. So let's talk about the library trustees right now. Tell me, what is the role of the library trustees? You're running for library trustee. You've been a trustee for how long?
Well, since 1995.
1995. So it's like 22 years. This would be like your 11th. This would be like a seventh term that you'd be, seventh or eighth term you'd be reelected for.
Right.
Uh-huh. So tell me, what's the library trustees do? What is it?
Well, basically, it's bookkeeping.
Yeah.
Basically, I'm taking the money that's coming in, putting it in the bank, and then the librarian tells me what she wants to buy, and I write checks for it. I don't tell her whether she can or she can't. That's her domain.
Yeah.
And so she tells me what she wants to buy. And I write her a check for it.
Uh-huh. So, and how much, what's typically the balance in the trust fund?
Well, anywhere in the low 30s.
Low 30s?
Yeah. And
like $37 or what?
No. Oh. No, $30,000, $33,000. It'll move up and down.
Yeah.
But most of the time, it's moving up.
And the income comes from where?
Well, a library throws off an awful lot of used books. And so we sell those, not for a lot of money, mm-hmm. but it's a consistent flow
yeah.
of money.
Yeah.
We have people who donate to the bank, I mean to the library, and that can be anywhere from 25 to 50 bucks to 10,000.
Really?
Some people have given us 50,000.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. And those are in what, just
those are,
accounts, long-term right. investment accounts?
Right.
Uh-huh.
They are.
So when you say $30,000, there are other kind of endowment-type gifts that have been left to the library trustees.
That's in
but
addition.
But that's not part of your normal year-to-year treasury operation.
No, right.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And year-to-year purchases for the library, those are done from the proceeds of these book sales.
Right.
And I understand that all fines for the library go back to the library trustees. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. All of that. Yeah. We try to find every channel of income.
All right. So you try to maximize that library fine income. Right?
Well, yes.
Send like leg breakers out and stuff like that. I'm just kidding.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay.
But the... there's one of the things that people should do is visit the library because they have a very large area of used books that go all the way to the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And as you walk in the door on the left,
mm-hmm.
and you can find a lot of books at a very low price. And why bother to take them out when you could be late coming back and have to pay a fine. You just buy it with what would have been the fine.
Uh-huh. So if they pay fines, that's money that goes back to the trustees and improves the library's collection and so forth.
Right.
And if they buy used books that are retired from the library's collection, that goes back to the trustees.
That's exactly
which eventually
right.
finds its way back to the library and adds to its collection also.
Absolutely.
Quite a nice operation for the library, really.
It is.
Uh-huh.
It is. And, you know, I would encourage people to visit various libraries to see what a jewel we have in Bedford.
We really do.
Okay?
Yeah.
And so the fact of the matter is that you have to have activists to have a library like we have.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a large number of people. And each of them take a segment of what they're interested in to make it available to everybody in the library.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, it's quite a place.
Uh-huh. I'm Jerry Hanauer, and today we have with us Tony Frederick is running for library trustee. All right. Well, there are three members of the trustees,
yep.
three trustees for the Library Trust Fund,
yep.
and one comes up for election each year. So this
yes.
is, your time is up this year, and we hope be renewed.
Right.
I'd like to talk to you about a really phenomenal project that happened within the past year and was completed and is now operational for the Bedford Public Library. And that's this geothermal heating, ventilation, air conditioning system. And I know you got involved with that, especially because you have just you're interested in learning, but also because of your long-term relationship with the library. Tell me a bit about this geothermal project.
Well, it's a very substantial project. So when you do substantial projects, you have to be prepared.
People may not even know what geothermal energy is. Maybe we need to.
Right.
People don't understand that there's heat in the winter and coolness in the summer that can be brought up from underground and pay the bills for heating and air conditioning.
Think about radiators in a house, and what we've got is the earth is a radiator. And it maintains a temperature range deep, deep down. And so we can gauge how much heat we can get from that and how much cooling we can get from that. And it just is pumped out of the ground through the pipes and then back into the ground.
Do you know how deep these wells are? How many wells are there? Do you know that they're part
that
of the
I don't
system?
Know.
Yeah.
And I don't know how deep they are. I'm guessing around 300 feet.
Yeah. And there are quite a number of them. This was a big project.
Yes.
There was a grant that was received through the Renewable Energy Fund, which was set up by the New Hampshire legislature. Contributed substantially to this project, and that the town paid a substantial portion of it also. And now, if it's a substantial portion in perpetuity of heating and ventilation and air conditioning costs for the Bedford Public Library are free essentially because of the operation of this geothermal system.
Well, there happens to be a fair amount of electricity involved in this project because you have to run pumps. And they run on electricity, and they have to run full time.
Yeah.
So there is some money that goes into operating.
You have to prime the pump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to keep them going. But it's a great project, and but like all machines, they wear out.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, what do you do then? I don't think anybody's asked that question.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But for the time being, it's economical for the town, and it reduces
Absolutely.
The tax rate for costs of running the library for heating and air conditioning in the summer.
Right. Yeah. Certainly does. And the nice part about it is you don't have any what's the word I want? Fumes. For lack of a better word, coming out of a chimney like a boiler.
Yeah.
Okay?
It's absolutely no burning of fuel. There's no fuel source other than the electricity to pump the water.
That's exactly right.
Up from the ground.
Right.
To heat or cool. Yeah.
Right. So there's no question that it's a brilliant idea, but it does take a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a lot of land area, and you have to do an awful lot of surveying to make sure that you aren't on the side of a riverbank that goes dry or any of those kinds of things, because you have to
make sure the water table is reliable. Huh?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
How about that? Well, that's something. Now, I know the library is growing and growing and growing.
Oh,
I know Marianne gives us an update on a monthly basis of how many patrons use the library, and it's an astounding number, thousands and thousands every month, and growing. And there's more demand for parking. So you asked a question. I know you've submitted a question for the developers of this geothermal project. Tell me about your question. We need more parking at the library.
Right. And the question is, can any of this buried machinery be parked on? And I don't think so. So that is a chunk out of that piece of land that we own could provide parking that can't be used.
Yeah. It's not part of the current, it's not under the current parking lot, is it?
No, not under the current.
This would be new space that we could,
But, you know, we need to take that field.
Right.
and we need to make a loop around to come out the other side.
Uh-huh.
And it's fine. We've got the thing built in the right spot. We don't have to park any cars there. And every place else we can park cars.
Yeah. Well, the demand for the library is growing and growing, and it's a wonderful institution here in Bedford. You know, I know of your work also on the Bedford Library Foundation. I've been on the Bedford Library Foundation myself for quite a few years. And you are the trustee's designated member of the board of the Bedford Library Foundation. Am I right about that?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think so, too, because you're like the iron horse of the Bedford Library Foundation. Over and above the trustees, which is an elected position, the Bedford Library Foundation is a volunteer board.
Right.
And you are the designated member, representative of the trustees on that library foundation. And that library foundation, that's a pretty substantial financial operation.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed it is.
Can you tell
it's
me
amazing.
A little bit?
It's amazing.
I know you're on the telephone. You're calling up people asking them to donate to the library foundation every year in April when we have our spring drive.
We keep trying to come up with new ideas so that people don't feel like when you go there, you know, they know you're coming every year.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, it's the library again.
Uh-huh.
They want money.
Uh-huh.
So if you come up with some unique ideas, it can make them almost laugh and say, yeah, they deserve it, you know. And so they give it up with less hostility.
When I call, I'm not getting a lot of hostility. I think people are delighted with the library and realize what a treasure it is in our town.
Yeah.
And for the most part, year after year, they're very happy to support the library through the Library Foundation.
Right. Right.
And in fact, our treasury is a good three times as much as the trustees is, and we're you and I and the rest of the Library Foundation Board, we're adding to the collection of the library every year with the funding that comes in from the Bedford Library Foundation,
sure.
too.
Yeah.
Books, CDs, books on tape, e-books, e-book readers, audiovisual systems, you know, all of this is part of our work.
I mean, right.
And I've been on the board for 10 or 12 years. I've never seen you miss a meeting, I don't think. I don't think I've ever seen you miss a meeting. You're always there.
I feel it's an obligation to if you're going to brag about being there, you got to be there.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about your bragging, but you're always there. And it's clear that you're the type of person when you join an organization, it's to roll up your sleeves and get your hands dirty a little bit and really pitch in. So I'm going to remind people again that the town, that the trustees, let's bring it back to the Board of Trustees of the Bedford Library. It's an elected position, and Tony is up for re-election this March 14th in the town elections, Bedford High School. And I'm going to ask you just in kind of closing out, Tony, if you want to just say a few words on your own behalf about why people should elect you as a trustee for the eighth time or whatever to the Bedford Library Foundation. For the trustees of the Bedford Library.
Well, as you've indicated, show up on time most every time.
Yeah.
And so that is what you would consider devotion.
Yeah.
And I really like it very much. And the people that I associate with at the library are just the best. And so I don't really belong to any other clubs or any other things. So I've got plenty of time to come over and do whatever chores that need to be done.
Yeah.
So, it just fits. It feels good.
Right. Well, I'm going to say that the people who associate with our library, you know, from the day-to-day staff to our director of the library, Marianne Sinatra, to the members of the trustees, to the Library Foundation, to the Friend of Life, they're all superior people who really want to give back to the community.
Right.
And I know that's why you're running again. So good luck in the race on March 14th. And make sure that all you Bedford citizens make sure that you are voting on at the high school on March 14th, Tuesday, March 14th.
I'll see you there on March 14th.
All right. Thanks for coming in Candidates Corner.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
I'm Jerry Hanauer, and today we have with us Tony Frederick, who's running for library trustee.